Welcome to Gary England's Last Storm. This is Mark.
And this is Dave.
And we're here to talk about the game against the Portland Trail Blazers. We were able to really get after them and hang on to the win thanks to the contributions by our young players, especially Isaiah Roby.
The third youngest team to start a NBA basketball game was on the floor tonight. It was exciting basketball.
SGA, Moose, they all kicked in a bunch of really good games for us. Can't wait to talk about it. We were able to get the win, and we are pumped up. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
All right, Mark, check this out. One of the things that I've really been keeping a close eye on all season is the way that we're able to hold teams and limit their fast break points every single game. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're the number one ranked team on defense when it comes to fast break points. We only allow 8.9 points a game off of fast breaks. And that's really something, because for us as a team, that means that we hustle back. We're not letting easy shots get or wide open layups get hit. This is the type of defense that we are continuously excited about throughout this year.
Yeah, it's the effort. You know, we see it on both ends of the ball, but when you see a team willing to put that type of effort on defense, good things happen.
You're absolutely right. And it's even more awesome to look at our schedule and recognize that we have the hardest schedule in the season, the first part of the season this year, and we're still able to do what we're doing on defense. So this is a really good thing. Now, we're not always clicking on defense, and sometimes it's more difficult than other times, but I watch how these guys compete night in and night out, and I get incredibly excited about these guys.
Yeah, it was the type of game that we love to see, obviously, because if you're listening to us, you know that we hate tanking, and this is the type of game that really just sticks it to all the tankers. I know all the tankers out there, they like to claim one thing. They say, we want to lose every game by 1 point, as if cheering for a close loss makes them noble. Well, it doesn't. It makes them fucking stupid. And we're not going to tolerate that type of stupidity. And if you're a tanker, please go ahead and leave, because we don't fucking want you listening to our podcast.
That's right. And I echo that, is because this is an incredibly young team this year. And I think the word tanking is contagious, and it's something that really hurts the players when they think about it. So thinking about our young team this year, Mark, did you know that this is only the third youngest starting lineup in the NBA ever?
I did not know that. That's impressive.
This is impressive. So Isaiah Roby was the oldest guy on the court tonight for us. He is 22 years old for the starting lineup. Isaiah Roby, number one, oldest guy on our team, 22 years old on the starting lineup. Shea, number two, at 22. Dort's 21. Paisley's 20. And Maladone, for his first start in the NBA tonight, is 19 years old. And this is the amazing thing about this. Like I said, there's only two other teams that has ever had a younger starting lineup in the NBA, and that was back in 2010. The LA Lakers had a team that was 20, and the average was 21 years and 143 days. And the youngest team to ever put out on a basketball court is the Phoenix Suns, and that was in 2017, and they have the average age of 21 years and 14 days. Now, our average tonight was 21 years and 190 days, so this is a really big win, even though we had the third youngest team ever to compete on the court starting the lineup tonight.
Right, and a lot of people want to focus on who the Blazers didn't have, but you know, I'm not worried about that, because I'm focused on the fact that they are an NBA team. They had Cantor go for over 20 rebounds. They had Dame play, you know, like Dame plays. And they had Melo, you know, really going off. I know that they weren't full strength, but if you look at what happened to the Clippers just today, you know, now PG and Kawhi Leonard are both out because of the COVID protocol. So while we face them at full strength, now going forward, they're not going to be at full strength. So a full strength team in the NBA, like we're used to, doesn't really mean the same thing this year. So we got unfortunate that we faced them at full strength. We got a little bit fortunate that we faced the Trailblazers at less than full strength, but we were also less than full strength. And when you look at, like you said, the youth, the lack of NBA minutes that those players have, I'll tell you right now, we look like the more experienced team.
Yeah, you're absolutely, Mark. You're absolutely right, Mark. We had a composure tonight that was something that was truly amazing to watch. And let's just start off in the beginning of the game, because I felt like this was us setting the tone early on. Let's just talk about yours and my, one of our favorite players come off the bench is Isaiah Roby. He is amazing. He comes out of the game, hits a three right away.
Right. He gets his, what, is this his sixth start in a row? Is that right?
Yeah, his sixth start. And I believe this is all six. He's had double figures in scoring as well. Well, we'll get to that at the end of the episode about how much he had here. But Roby hustles on the second time down, taps the ball to Maladone. Bayes is able to get a huge dunk at that moment. Huge dunk. And I'm watching there because this is the second game in a row that I felt like I was watching 5 minutes of Roby just play over the floor, because the very next play down, Roby catches a pass from Baisley and scores an and one. So
right.
We're watching the emergence of Isaiah Roby right in front of our eyes. And the beautiful thing is this is one of the guys that you and I both were incredibly excited about at the beginning of this year.
Right. I was super excited about him, but I was also willing to give him a lot of room to grow. And I feel kind of foolish. I'm already looking at someone, and it's hard for me to really notice a big difference between the production that he puts out and Al Horford. And Al Horford is an all-star level player. Now, this year he's not playing up to what he's used to. He's, you know, he's got a very busy life and things are going on. And I understand that, you know, last year was a difficult year from him, but he still is an extremely skilled player. And when you can look at Isaiah Roby out there and say, we're not getting a dip in production, what the hell is happening? This is the best year I can remember, simply because the players' improvement, literally game after game, we're watching it right before our eyes. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more. The effort that they're putting out, the effort that the coaching staff is putting out, the player development coaching staff is putting out, it's unbelievable. I'm so appreciative of Isaiah Roby, of Darius Baisley, Théo Maladone. Those players, they really are facing their challenges head on. You know, Dort and SGA, they've had, you know, proven success in the NBA at different points, you know, but Roby, Baisley, and Maladone, they were such a key for us because of the confidence that they approached the game with. And honestly, the only reason that they can approach the game with that much confidence is because of the hard work that they've put in every day at practice. And that's where you get the type of confidence that lets you, like you said, Isaiah Roby, average double figures for all his starts and have nearly 10 rebounds in every game he started. And I just, you know, like you said, this game he was all about boxing out, all about boxing out. And yes, Cantor was able to get some rebounds simply because of Cantor's size and his positioning. But I'm telling you, Isaiah Roby improved before our eyes during this game. And if he gets a chance to play against Cantor again, he's going to remember those little tricks that Cantor uses that are so effective.
Yeah, Mark, you're absolutely right. And I cannot tell you how much I absolutely love Roby's footwork right now. The way that he is able to get the guys to come out and play him, and it's just like, boom, 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 and he's right there at the rim. This guy is a next-level type player. This is the type of player that we have been talking about, Sam Presti, recognizing that there's potential in these guys. He recognizes that they need time to develop, and he puts them in the G League where Coach G, previous to this year, had time to develop them. You're watching Roby develop into a big-time player right now. Last year, his coach was Coach D down in the G League, and it's starting to pay off. You're starting to see Coach D trust Roby. You're starting to see Coach D trust his players. He's trusting Hami, who he's coached with. He's trusting Dort, who he's coached with for the last 2 years. These guys are big-time players, and I cannot tell you enough how exciting it is to watch Roby turn into the type of player that he is turning into.
Absolutely. And after, you know, he was able to get us off to such a good start, SGA knocked down a three. That put us up five. And really, at this point, it felt like we took control of the game. And while the game got close again, they never were really able to take the lead. And so, I mean, I think maybe at one point they had a one-point lead for like 1 second. But, You know, at this point, we continued to attack. Baisley got a big dunk on an alley-oop from SGA, and then Baisley knocked down a three. Dort knocked down a three, and after Baisley got a tip-in with 4 minutes and 40 seconds left, we were up by 11.
And that tip-in was beautiful. It was really amazing at that point.
Right. So then it was Moose time, and Moose, he was the player of the game because, you know, he just did so many different things. He knocked down back-to-back threes for us, and then Dort got a couple of buckets for us, and then Justin Jackson, you know, was able to knock down a runner, and it was good to see him stay committed to being aggressive. At that point, we had a 10-point lead at the end of the first quarter, 34-24.
And you're right, and Justin hit that huge layup at the end of the first quarter, and they went on at that point, the Blazers were on a 7-0 run, so when Justin hit that layup to end the quarter, it was really big. I would like to also point out that I felt like the second team struggled ever so slightly because they didn't have a ball handler like Maladone, who was starting tonight, playing with them. But it was amazing to watch how Kenny Hustle stepped up and was able to really do a lot of different things to help the team out at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And Moose came out and started the second quarter, you know, with the same rhythm. He knocked down another three. And then Poku was able to knock down a three, which was really great to see. It really had the arc that you told me to watch for last time. I watched for it, and I saw it. The ball had great backspin, and it just was dead on.
It was sweet. I really felt good about that shot. In fact, I felt good about almost every shot he took tonight. That was really good. I'm seeing the confidence that we've been talking about. The confidence was shining tonight. I felt like he played a great first half, and it was really great to see.
Right, and the Blazers, you know, to start the second quarter, they went on a pretty good run. They cut the game down to about 5, and then we were able to stretch the game back out, get back up by 10, 47-37, and that was about with 8 minutes left, and that was after a Hami bucket, and they called timeout, and it was just like we were just kept pushing that 10-point lead. That's what we wanted. You know, we had just seen the Clippers do the same thing to us, and we were trying to go out and do that to the Blazers.
Yeah, you're right. And it's been interesting this year. We've watched our team play from behind. We've watched our team play from ahead. Not many times playing from ahead, but tonight it was great to watch. These young guys were able to play from ahead and not only excel, but able to close out the game at the end. So this is a really big first half by all of our players.
So then Moose came back after that timeout and knocked down two more threes. So at that point, that was his fifth three of the game.
Yeah, he had 5 threes in the first half. That was just amazing to watch. He ended the first half with 16 points. I just cannot say enough about how Mike was able to carry our team in the first half and how he is able to really rise us up and get us playing on that amazing, amazing three-point runs that we were doing.
Right, and then with 4 minutes left, okay, it was 50. Roby went and he got a good bucket, and it was all about footwork, and that put us up by 11, 57-46.
All about footwork every single time. This is something that we're going to talk about a lot with this young man.
Now, SGA had an incredible drive with 3:05 left. It was, I don't know exactly what to call it, but I'll call it the Euro step reverse, and with his go-go gadget arms, as Michael Cage called him.
I had to stop and rewind that twice. I really felt like that was a signature move of his that's in the making. We've seen little variations of this, but there was something special about his extension, this move. I cannot tell you how exciting this kid is playing. And everybody's saying that, oh, he's a potential star one day. No, we're watching a star, and not even in the making. We're watching a star in Oklahoma City right now. SGA is legit.
Right, and Roby knocks down 2 free throws, which keeps us up by 9 at that point, right? But then with 1 minute left in the second quarter, things got really exciting. First, Teo knocks down a 3 to put us up by 10. Then SGA knocks down a really deep 3 with 35 seconds left, and that kept us up by 10. Then, after SGA knocked down 2 free throws, okay, to put us up by 12 with 4.2 seconds left, they were able to move down the length of the court and get Gary Trent Jr. a deep 3 right at the buzzer, and they were able to cut the lead to 9. So at halftime, we were up by 9, 69-60.
Yeah, this was back and forth. I felt like our second unit struggled for just ever so slightly for a little bit, and then they were able to bounce back and bounce back hard. A lot of it was due to Mike just putting the team on his back and showing him why he's on our team right now, showing the maturity, showing the leadership, showing the tenacity to hit five threes in the first half. It was a beautiful thing, and be up not by 9 points going into halftime is something that I don't think we've been able to see very often this year.
Oh, we haven't. And it was great to see the first half, the first quarter, our starters came out and put on the run. And then the second quarter, the bench came and reinforced that run. And we were going into halftime in a comfortable position, which sometimes can be really problematic, especially with a young team. You need to go in and you need to be aggressive and make adjustments as if you were down, especially with a team that has Damian Lillard on it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We had a big quarter by a bunch of our guys. We had Roby score 10 in the first half. We had Bazley score 10 in the first half. SGA score 10 in the first half. And Moose score 16 in the first half, like we talked about. Dort threw in there with 7 points in the first half. Maldon, Poku, Kenny Hustle all had 3 points in the first half, as well as Justin Jackson hitting that layup just before the end of the first quarter. So this was a really great job by all of our players to play ball like they did.
Right. So the start of the third quarter was definitely filled with anxiety. Other than Bazley hitting a three, our offense dried up. That 9-point lead completely evaporated. And with 8 minutes and 40 seconds left, we were tied at 72 when Théo Maledon knocked down a three to put us up by three. And Isaiah Roby dove to the hoop for a big, big dunk.
Yeah, and then we saw Bazley sprint down the floor like a fat kid running to his own birthday cake. And if you've ever seen a fat kid run to his own birthday cake, you know exactly what I mean. They are sprinting all for it. He sprints down the floor. All I could say is probably the fastest I've seen him move, goes all the way down the lane and does something special. This is exciting. Bazley is exciting. He was able to do things that Mark and I have been able to see glimpses of, but he put them all in the game at the same exact time tonight. This was massive.
Right, and we were going back and forth. We were able to, stay tied, build a little bit of a lead, and then it was cut back. But there was that grit, that determination, those factors that, really make us fall in love with this team. And as they kept fighting, and Roby was able to get an offensive rebound tip, we were able to build a 7-point lead, and it was like, hey, this is going to be a game where we're really focused on asserting our will.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking about Roby hustling. I feel like this is something that we should just automatically assume every single night, but it's still special to watch as this guy throws balls against the wall every single second, and this guy is something special to watch. Now, we ended the half 94-91, so they were able to come back in a little bit of run at the end there, but I felt like that was okay, Mark.
Yeah, there was one thing, before we go on to the fourth quarter. SGA had a really nice step back three with 43 seconds left. That was great. I love seeing a really smooth step back from any player, but watching SGA's develop has been really special.
I felt like he had a few shots that were under 35 seconds on time in the quarter. Tonight, he shot that one in the first half. He had
Right.
this one. I felt like the other one that was big was later in the game. He hit some free throws on the down at the end of the game. Like I felt like SGA did a great job again, showing that he deserves to be the known guy in Oklahoma City as the man.
So to start out the fourth quarter, we were up three, and then the lead was cut down to one when Moose was able to get a steal and Poku was able to knock down a three. So at that point, we were able to keep our lead and even try to start building it back when Moose was able to get an and one and off of a Kenny Hustle assist. And then Kenny does what he always does and was able to get another offensive rebound. And just watching him get out there and lay it all on the line and watch him earn those fourth quarter minutes, that was awesome.
I've been telling you all season, Mark, Kenny Hustle on the offensive board is something special to watch. If you watch a lot of basketball, you're a coach, you're a father of a player, if you watch how this guy competes on the offensive glass, I would highly recommend you teach your children, you teach your players, you watch this guy, because he is the type of player that you want on your team, hustling, especially on the offensive board. It was beautiful tonight. He did an amazing job.
Right, and then Hami was able to get four consecutive points for us, and then back at it, Kenny Hustle gets another steal and gets a layup.
I mean, that steal was beautiful. I mean, he read the ball perfectly. He was able to get out. The ball was being whipped around the horn really quickly. Most likely would have ended up in an open three, but Kenny Hustle, again, does his thing, was able to get a wide-open layup, and it was something that was awesome. Just awesome, because I felt like he, at that moment, was exemplifying what Coach has been saying day in and day out, 0-0 mindset, because this game, I felt like, was a breakout for him.
Right, so with 6:45 left, Moose hits a big Dirk Nowitzki fadeaway to put us up by 7, and then Hami takes a really big drive. I'm sorry, that put us up by 9, and then Hami takes a really big drive to the basket, and that puts us up by 11. And at that point, we were feeling pretty good, but we knew enough to realize that this game wasn't over.
I mean, this is Damian Lillard. I mean, this is his home. I mean, there should be nobody that is shocked, or anybody that is shocked, that Carmelo Anthony, Damian, and Trent were able to do the things that they were able to do. One thing I want to say, though, is again, we saw Kenny Hustle do what he's been doing and gets another offensive rebound and puts it back up to get or misses a shot, gets his own offensive rebound, puts it back up to go back up again. This was a big move. This was a big play. This was a big hustle moment. I love to see this guy play.
Right, and at that point, you know, our starters were already moving back in, and Kenny was keeping his spot out on the court, and that was great to see. But as the bench was going back, Michael Cage brought to our attention the fact that the bench went on a 19-7 run, and that was so critical. That gave us the cushion that we needed, and you know, we fought like hell throughout the whole game, but let's just face it, like, we did not finish the game as cleanly as we wanted to.
No, we didn't, but that's okay, though. This is a young kid, this is a young group, and I think the most important thing that we need to look at is that we finished the game and we won. We won when Dame was going off. There were so many great, amazing things that happened in the fourth quarter that I felt like were great teaching points for Coach D. And on top of that, we get a win in Portland. And I felt like it was important for us to say that.
Yeah, Roby knocked down a couple of free throws for us. And, you know, that kept us up by 11. And then they went on a run. And then they were able to cut it down to 6 when Baisley knocked down a 3 and kept the lead to 9. And that was with 3 minutes and 5 seconds left. But we knew we were still fighting for it. And that's when Kenny Hustle went out and got another offensive rebound and gave us another shot at the basket, and Roby was able to knock down 2 free throws.
Yeah, Mark, that was Kenny Hustle's 4th offensive rebound for the night. I felt like, again, this is exactly what we were expecting out of this kid day in and day out. I think it's important that we point out that he spent 22 minutes on the court, and I felt like it was direct correlation with the fact of the way he hustled and his name, Kenny Hustle.
Then the play of the game really happened. We were up by 6. Damian Lillard went up for a 3. Dort played, you know, very physical but contained defense. He was able to play it perfectly, but he was called for the foul by Ed Malloy. And when he went back and he checked the film, and after Coach had challenged it, you could tell this is something that we've seen. You know, I almost feel like I can hear them talking even though I can't hear them, because I can see on Coach's face, he's like, I don't want to challenge this, but if you tell me to, I will. And Dort said, do it. And, you know, I've seen a lot of players since they've instituted the challenge rule go to their coach and say, challenge it, challenge it. And they weren't correct. But I've noticed that because Coach is so trusting with these young players, they have really, really chosen to be honest with him. And they only ask for it when they really believe it. And he's proven to be right a couple of times simply based on the player's word, and I love that about him.
Yeah, the second that we saw Dort throw up his hands and do the replay, and the announcers dropped the replay immediately, I knew at that moment that it was going to be overturned, because I don't even care that what Coach D said at that moment. I knew the second that Dort said rewind and he pointed towards the bench, I knew Coach was going to challenge it. And I sat back and I got excited, because this is the type of play we love to see Coach challenge, and we love to see Coach wait for his challenges, because there was a couple plays that he could have challenged before and he didn't. And he saved his challenge to this point in the game. And this was a big time challenge, because like Mark said, we were up 6 points. Damian Lillard going to the line for three throws was something that we did not want. And instead of them doing that, we were able to get the ball off of the jump, and the call was overturned. And this was a big time moment.
Right. And even with us being up six with 13.8 seconds left, we weren't able to cleanly close the game. SGA had plenty of trouble knocking down free throws. And when with 3.4 seconds left, they had the ball, we were only up by four.
Yeah, and I was getting a little nervous. I was standing up and pulling at my hair, and I felt like this was going to be crazy. And we've seen Damian Lillard do so many crazy things against us through the last few years, and I felt like this was going to be a moment that he was going to do something insane. But I was really impressed with how we closed out this game, though, Mark.
Right. So we were up by four, and then, you know, once again, they were able to score again, and with 1.5 seconds left, they had the ball back, and they had to throw it the full length of the court because they were out of timeouts. But in a different game, in a different situation, if they did have timeouts, they could have taken this game away from us. And that is, for me, one of those things that really gives the coaches an opportunity to say, hey, look, we can improve even in a win. And if you have to wait till you lose to improve, then it's going to be difficult. So I know they're going to be working on those free throws. I know they're going to be working on end-of-game situations. I know that they have a lot that they want to get better at. I saw it all over the players' faces. They won. They were happy with the win because, you know, believe it or not, tankers, this team plays to win, right? So they're happy for the win, but they know that they have a lot to work on and a lot to get better at.
Yeah, Mark, I felt like our shots were going in tonight for so many different reasons, but I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Coach hasn't been putting pressure on the kids, haven't been yelling at the guys. He's been telling them to continue to shoot their shots, and I think it showed off that we hit 45% of our threes tonight. We didn't hit the most threes we've hit in this season, but we still hit 19, and I think that's something to hold our head on for sure. These guys did an amazing job. I was really proud with them. For 48 minutes, they hustled. Roby played one of the best games I felt like he's played, period. I didn't watch a lot of G League games with him. I've only watched three or four, but I felt like tonight was the best game of his early career. He ended the night with 16 points, only three rebounds, but he boxed out really well tonight. He had one assist and two blocks. He was 1 for 2 in threes, and he played 27 minutes. So I felt like this was a great game for him. I felt like he is continuing to show that he is going to be on this team or be in the NBA for many, many years to come. And I'm really excited about him.
Right. And SGA, he went for 24 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Baisley went for 19 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. Dort, 7.
He was 3 for 6 in threes, so he shot 50% from threes. So fuck you all that have been saying Baisley needs to stop shooting, because he is proving that he needs to continue shooting and continue playing like he has been.
Yeah, fuck you all if you're a hater. Anyway, Dort, 7 points. He went for 3 rebounds and 3 assists. And Teo Maladon, 6, 4, and 4. And off the bench, Mike led all scorers off the bench with 23. 2 rebounds. And also Justin Jackson kicked in 6 points, 3 assists. Poku went for 6 points, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 block. Kenny Williams, 7 points, 2 assists, 7 rebounds, 1 steal. And Hamidou Diallo went for 11, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. This was great by these guys. Let's put a huge shout out to Justin Jackson, who had 16 minutes tonight. Poku, who threw it another 20. Maladone, for start of the first night of his career, he had 22 minutes. Dort put 30 minutes up, and those were all hustle. I felt like he had a horribly hard assignment all night long, but he did an amazing job and especially paid off at the end of the game when he was able to make that block that turned into a jump ball, and we were able to get the ball at the end. That was something was beautiful. So his 30 minutes were incredibly hard. I felt like Kenny Hustle did great tonight, and he was rewarded. He got 22 minutes tonight for him, and that is a ton of burn time for him, but I was incredibly proud of the way that he hustled and the way that he had four offensive rebounds. Tommy had 21 minutes, and let's just talk about our boy Roby again because he played like a baller. He had 27 minutes tonight. Coach rewarded him big time. Baisley had 29 minutes, and SGA led all minutes at 32. It was really great to see these guys put the big minutes in. Our young players put the big minutes in. Moose is the oldest guy on our team at this moment that's playing. Moose is 28. Second oldest guy is Kenny Hustle, and he is 26. Everybody else is super, super young.
Right. And like you said, Dort had an incredibly tough assignment. You know, Lillard played 39 minutes. He shot 22 shots, and he scored 26 points. So, you know, it was great to see him, you know, really struggle with his efficiency. He shot 3 for 12 on three-pointers. You know, so that, I feel like, is a credit to Dort in the way that he defends.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I feel like this goes back to what we're talking about, that this team is competing. This team is competing now. We want to win games now. We want to prove that this team is good. And we had one of our listeners that said they've been listening. Chencho has been listening for a week now. Doesn't agree with everything we say, but that's okay. I don't agree with anything anybody else says all the time anyways. So he's really speaking highly of us, saying that he's trying to change his mindset to be more positive on this, guys. And Mark, guess what? That means that what we're doing right now in Oklahoma City and trying to teach these guys of how to love this team is working, because we're changing little by little, and we're helping the people, the good people of Oklahoma City and also around the world, to teach them how to love this team. And this is exciting to me.
Yeah, it is. And I have a confession to make. Today I was driving to the airport, and it's not a very close airport, so I decided to check out what Down to Dunk was up to, even though I had promised everybody I was done listening to the bullshit on their podcast. I know, and I shouldn't bring that negativity into this place, but listen, I'll tell you right now, because they released this episode today, so this is fresh, okay? So I'm just going to go ahead and give you a couple of quotes, all right? Well, Andrew Schlecht on Down to Dunk today said, "The Oklahoma City Thunder have bigger aspirations than SGA being the number one option. And if we don't believe him, we're supposed to read Sam Presti's article that was published in the Oklahoman." As if Sam Presti said somehow that SGA wasn't good enough to be a first option. No, he didn't say that, did he? No, see, what happened was Andrew Schlecht runs around telling everybody what Sam Presti says. You know, it reminds me of something, you know, I heard when I was growing up. You know, a lot of people say, you know, saying, "Oh my God," is, you know, taking the Lord's name in vain, and you're going to go to hell if you say, "Oh my God," you know, but I don't really believe that. I believe that actually the people who run around and saying, "God said this," those are the people who are running around taking God's name in vain. Anybody who says that they have the word of God and they're just using their own word, that to me is somebody who runs around with blasphemy on their lips. And I'm telling you right now, Andrew Schlecht puts words in Sam Presti's mouth all the time. And he takes the name of Sam Presti in vain every fucking episode. And if you want to hear some bullshit, go listen to what Andrew Schlecht thinks Sam Presti says. Because Sam Presti never says any of the words that Andrew interprets and then gets his little cult following to run around and say. I'm telling you right now, there is nobody who is related to any of the players, who knows any of the players, that wants to hear anything about a tank, wants to hear anybody shit on the team. But Andrew Schlecht is committed to shitting on the team. He's so committed to shitting on the team that he said today, he said, "I just believe the Thunder will lose about 1 million games in the next 3 weeks. Well, obviously that's impossible, right? But he's just saying, and he says it with the amount of glee, because he loves the idea of us losing. You know, their little show about the Thunder, their so-called show about the Thunder, right? They spent about 4 minutes total talking about the Thunder. And the rest of the time, they were talking about all the top draft picks that they wish they could get. And musing about, would you trade the number 2 and the number 6 for the number 1? Oh my God, I can't wait until the draft. Like, get the fuck out of here with that shit. I just watched a team show up and spank the Portland Trailblazers from the beginning to the end of the game. And you know what? They're not losing games like you want. And you can just hope in your little fantasy world that we're going to lose all these games so that we can get the players that you want. But guess what? We have the players I want. And I'm watching the team I want to watch play. So you can get the fuck out of here with that shit. We're not really worried about you, because in the end, your ship is leaky and you don't know it.
Yeah, Mark, I got a couple things to say about that too. Is the Three Stooges, and I won't even say what show they're on, but I think it's obvious what show we're talking about right now. The Three Stooges are notorious for talking major shit on Isaiah Roby. Notorious for doing this, okay? Especially in the beginning of the year, saying, we wish he didn't keep him on the team. This is not a guy that's going to be on the team in 2 years. He doesn't have the talent for the NBA. So these guys continue to shit down our players' throats. And the other guy that I continue to hear something that they continue to talk about is the Three Stooges talk about Kenny Hustle being the worst shooter and why does he keep shooting and blah, blah, blah. And they continue to do that on Kenny Hustle. They can't look at all the other things that he does for the Oklahoma City Thunder and look at it and highlight it and say, look at how well he plays here. Look at what he does on the offensive board. No, what they decide to do is shit down this player's throat. The other guy that I have noticed them talk a lot about, especially on Twitter, they hate Poku. Poku is a turd on their foot, and they just wish they could get it off as easy as they possibly can. But I promise you, this kid is going to be a special player. You have to watch the way that this kid plays. You have to watch how he stretches the floor. You have to watch how he gets up the floor. You have to watch how he blocks shots. You have to watch how he rebounds. I mean, I can break down every special part about his game, and you start watching it, and then you start recognizing that this player is going to be awesome. He is not somebody that has a lot of confidence in the shot right now, but tonight he shot 50% from downtown, and I felt like he was playing incredible.
Right, and it just lets you know how full of shit all these people are when they trash him, because they don't understand the progression, that it takes time, that being 19 years old, you know, and playing at that pace when you've never really played at a top level of basketball before, it takes time. So all these people who, you know, run around spouting off their opinions and saying he shouldn't shoot or all this stuff, I just don't want to repeat, you know, because it's so fucking negative. They run around and they just try to be negative. I'll just say this right now. Somehow they've been able to convince the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base that they speak for them. But let me tell you right now, they don't. They don't speak for the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base. They speak for a very vocal minority. Those people have been able to suppress any other idea, and they force everybody to think that the only way to win is to lose. And when you go, like I do, and I tell them all the time, hey, if you're a tanker, you're a loser, they get really offended. They get really, really offended. And I pull out the dictionary and I say, no, it literally says tanking equals strategic losing. And they're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. I was like, so you're literally a loser. That's a part of the word tanking. And they have so much trouble accepting that. And they come around and they say, oh, you're a loser. And it's like, oh, well, I'm sorry, but no, I'm committed to winning and you're the one committed to losing. And all you can do is try to turn my insult back on me. So it's just bogusness. I'm telling you right now, we support these players as a fan base, okay, as a city, as a state, as a community, the Thunder organization, our values, okay? When we see new people here in this community, we support them. We give them the help they need. We give them the guidance they need. We give them a helping hand anytime that we're able to. That's how we operate as a community. It's been that way forever.
And Mark and I, on May 3rd, 1999, Mark and I were right where the Moore tornado hit, helping clean up. We were helping move things because that's what half of Oklahoma was doing. We were all there and more. We were all helping out. This is what we've always been talking about. This state is wrapping themselves around the new people and embracing them for who they are and accepting them for who they are. And that's why we're here today, is because we just don't feel that the Oklahoma City fan base has a voice in the aspect of sticking up for their players.
Right. And why does it matter? Why should anybody stick up for these players? They're millionaires. Who cares? Well, I'll tell you why it matters, okay? Because if you believe that these players are going to be here, then you can support this team. But if you believe that these players are just in the middle of a transition, it's really hard to support players who are just on the way out the door. But when you look at the age of these players, and you look at the maturity, and you look at the progression, I don't see anybody in that under 22 group that Sam Presti is just going to let go. So if you're a big fan of Isaiah Roby, if you're a big fan of Teo Maledon like we are, then it's time. It's time to start watching the games. It's time to start getting into it. Now, maybe you're not yet. Maybe you're waiting until this season shakes out a little bit. Maybe you're kind of like, you've heard a lot of people be negative about this team, so you don't really want to get too invested in it. Well, that's fine. That's fine. As long as you don't cheer for this team to lose. And the Tankers, they have these new lines, you know. They've heard us. Definitely, they know we're here. You know, we are the fastest growing Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. So they know about us. So they've changed their dialogue. And one of the things they're saying now is that what we want as Tankers is we want to compete every game, but we want to lose by 1 point. You know, and it's just really hard for me to grasp that. You know, I'm sitting here as an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, and we're playing the Portland Trail Blazers. And I'm cheering for a win. Every shot I want to go in. And I know in the back of my mind that there's some portion of the fan base that is cheering for us to lose, and they're claiming to be Thunder fans, and they just want to lose by 1 point. And they think that that makes them sophisticated. They think that somehow cheering for a loss makes them a super smart fan because they understand something about basketball that the rest of us don't. Well, they don't. Okay? They're just idiots. Okay? They're the blind leading the blind. It's a confused clusterfuck. And I'm telling you right now, the captain of that ship is Andrew Schlecht. His first mate is Royce Young. And I'm telling you right now, we need to go ahead and call it out for what it is. This is not a tank. This has never been a tank. This is an amazing team that is growing up right in front of our eyes. And I appreciate them.
Every second these guys play, Mark and I get excited. We're always talking to each other about this team. We think that I call them the 23 and under team, is going to be here for the next 3 to 4 years as a core. So I feel like this is something that we should be excited about. We got all these guys on team-friendly contracts, the second rounders. All these guys are here, and it helps our team because we're saving millions and millions of dollars not having a $30-plus million contract on our books. So I have to lay it out and give it up to Sam for the way that he has been able to put this roster together on such incredibly short notice. I have to give it up for the coaches who have got all the players in sync for this time right now. I love how he has Roby playing hard minutes for him, and he was a big-time player in the G League for him. I love how Dort is playing big minutes for him, and he was a big-time G League guy as well. And Baisley played G League for a little while. These guys are big-time players, and we're going to see them for a lot of years. So when we talk shit on these guys, we're talking shit on them for one reason, because we're defending the guys that we love on this basketball team. You guys can call it whatever you want, but we have deep, passionate love for these Thunder players. We have deep, passionate love for the Thunder organization, the owner, for the GMs, for the players, and you'll never hear us talk negative about these guys because we seriously love them, and we think that this is going to be an exciting team for this year and many years to come.
It's already been so much more exciting than I imagined. I knew that we would get off to a difficult start. You put a whole new team on the court with so many young players, but I didn't imagine that we would start this well. You know, it's one of those situations where you go into a road trip like this with such an intense schedule, and you know, now we're coming through it, you know, and the schedule, it is starting to look different than it did at the beginning of the year. Upcoming, we have the Phoenix Suns and the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm not saying that those games are, you know, necessarily going to be simple. We're going to have to do a lot. But the Houston Rockets back-to-back, that used to look like it was going to be a real pain in our ass. And now, though, you know, I think we can split that, followed by Minnesota back to back. You know, and I feel similar. A lot of people were high on them going into the season, and now, you know, they're back to being the Timberwolves again. So, you know, I think we've stepped through some of the hardest parts of our schedule. Now we have coming up the Lakers back to back, the Nuggets and the Bucks. So, you know, there's definitely some hard parts, but if we can, you know, steal a couple of these games from Houston and Minnesota, maybe get one of the, you know, the Suns or the Nets, you know, that would be great.
Mark, I think I'm even throwing it in there saying that I think that we'll beat one, we'll beat the Lakers one time out of the two times we play them. I just don't think that there's any way that Coach D and the players aren't going to come out ready to play and ready to know what to do. I just feel that this is going to be the run that we're going to be able to see the guys play, very similar to the run they put on when they won three or four away games a couple weeks ago. So this is going to be really exciting. I think everybody should definitely stay tuned, definitely listen up, because this is going to be some fun basketball. Whether we win or lose, it doesn't matter, because these guys are balling at a hardcore level, and it's going to be really exciting to see what they're able to do.
Hey, you know what, man? Believe it or not, we got the Tankers on the run right now, man. We got the Tankers on the run. They think that they're fine. They think that they're like, oh, yeah, we get to cheer for close wins and close losses. You know, like they think that they have really, you know, they've got it. But I'm telling you right now, we've got the Tankers on the run. We've got them on the run. They're sitting there and they're trying to figure out how they can salvage this season. I mean, Mr. Ryland Stiles is trying to figure out how we can only win 21 more games. You know what I mean? This is unbelievable. You know, this is awesome. Let's keep it going. Isaiah Roby, you know, I think to me, I have to reevaluate what I expect from him on a daily basis, because, you know, I come in, I go, okay, this is what Isaiah Roby is as a player. And then boom, he shows me something else. I'm like, okay, you know, that's why I'm not good at really evaluating. I can see what people are doing, but can I see what they're going to do next? And that's what our coaching staff, that's what Sam Presti does really well. He can see things for the way that they are going to be.
And that's a really good point, because last year I had been hearing all these rumbles around the NBA, the positional basketball and how it would look out. But last year in the playoffs, we saw an unbelievable effort done by really our squad, Thunder, and Houston by playing a positional basketball. And it was something that was just beautiful, like watching how we were moving the ball, how there was no center. And that was the first time that I ever said to myself, a 6'8" player, 6'9" player could play center in the league now. And it's mind-boggling that that's where we have come. The evolution of the game has come to a 6'8", 6'9" post player that has great footwork and hit the three and that hustles consistently. And that's exactly what we're watching Roby do. And I think it has to redefine exactly how you look at an NBA center in the league. And I would highly recommend that you guys look at the stats that Roby's been putting up. And he's been doing this against the biggest bodies in the NBA, and it's exciting to watch.
Right. This wasn't as sexy of a game as the Orlando game where he dropped that hammer on the crossover on Vucevic. But, you know, to me, this was a much better game because of how solid he played. He was able to contribute from the beginning to the end. And really, the transformation that he's made as a player, going from a player who I would say, you know, had his moments early in the season to now he's shown that he can keep up with the NBA's best all through the game.
Yeah. And again, this is exactly what we see in this kid. We saw this last year. I saw this last year and I told Mark about this kid. I felt like he had an opportunity to play in the NBA, but I didn't recognize his true potential until we recognized the NBA was changing in such a dramatic way of this positional basketball. And this has to redefine how you look at players. And I would highly recommend you guys go back, pull some stats up, pull some video up of him in Nebraska. He played 3 years there. He has plenty of video of him doing some incredible stuff. Even pull up some high school videos of him. If you can find it, do your own research on this kid. And I promise you, you'll be impressed like I was. And you'll see the improvement that he has made. And you cannot sit here and you cannot deny that this kid has a very long, long, long road in the NBA ahead of him.
Absolutely. I really, really appreciate all the hard work that everybody's putting in, the players and the coaching staff, and it's starting to pay some dividends. We're watching this team begin to blossom right in front of us. I appreciate everybody joining us. I hope that the show is getting better just like this team is. You know, we're picking up one win at a time. You know, our competitors out there are, you know, leaving us some opportunities because they're being sloppy. They don't understand the game that we're playing, and they're just kind of being lazy, and they would just rather mail it in. And we're here to pick up on those opportunities and let you know we're never going to mail it in. We're watching all the games from the beginning to the end, and we're going to let you know what we see.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm throwing this out here again. Last time I did, I got 5 emails from our listeners, so I'm throwing this out again. My email is david@flatmail.com. david@flatmail.com. Email me, ask me questions, tell me what's up, tell me to fuck off. I don't care. I would love to hear from you guys. You guys are the reason that we're here. I had no idea that we would even have the amount of downloads that we would have at this point in the season. But we do, because you guys are fucking awesome.
Hey, I'll just put it out there. Tomorrow is our 1 month anniversary of our very first episode. So I hope you'll join us for that. We've got something special planned. We're going to have a blast. We always have a blast. But this, you know, after a win, we get to marinate in that for a little while. And we get to come back and let you know, you know, some really exciting news. Because like I said, 1 month and we're already impacting the Oklahoma City community because of one thing. Because you, the listeners, have decided to show up and hear what we have to say. Because we're here to tell you about this basketball team, not a bunch of ping pong balls, not a bunch of fantasies inside of the Three Amigos' heads. You know what I mean? This is real basketball, NBA basketball. We're watching it. We're letting you know what we see. We're watching it so that you can, you know, watch it with us. You know, this is great. This is awesome. We're watching the development. We're watching everybody learn and get better together. And we appreciate you doing it with us because, let's face it, we're new to this. You know, we're 1 month in.
This is not about the money for us. And I hope you guys can recognize and appreciate that with the way that we talk, with the amount of passion that we talk about, because this is not about the money. We don't care about the money. The money means nothing to us. What means something to us is being able to talk about the way that we feel about this Thunder team. And I hope that you guys can feel that. I hope that you can understand that. And I hope that you guys will be able to continue to listen in, because this year is going to be fucking fun. So with that being said, this is Dave.
And this is Mark.
Thank you for listening to The Flats on Gary England's Last Storm.
We'll be back tomorrow to preview the game against the Phoenix Suns. I mean, this is going to be a really, really great game. I think that we've gotten better on this road trip. And I'm ready to, you know, hopefully play against Chris Paul and let him know that we're a better team.
Yeah, I'm really excited and pumped about being able to play against the Suns. I feel like, you know, Chris Paul made it known that he wanted to go and play for the Suns and really left the Thunder. Not that Sam would have kept him probably or not, but I really felt like this was an opportunity for us to continue to get better and have a guy like Chris Paul be a mentor to the guys for a couple of years. So it will be strange seeing him play for the Suns, but I'm really happy that he's close to his family, and I'm really more excited right now that we get to watch the players that we get to watch develop and play the minute they are.
We appreciate everybody joining us, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Thunder up.